You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrestling,
where we talk about Doctor Who?
I think so. Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 22nd season of Doctor Who, The Mark of the Rani, which consists of two episodes that aired from February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, 1985, to February 9th, 1985.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
And check him out at MatthewGolden.net. So, hey, Tony.
What?
How's it going?
Fine.
Usually I ask, like, is there anything we should talk about at the top of the program? But I have a topic.
You have a thing?
Yeah. There is a, let's call him a super fan. Well, friend of Rassilon.
He is definitely a friend of Rassilon.
Steve Conway, we've mentioned him before. He sent us a copy of his book.
Which is really good.
Yeah, I finished reading it. You're still, halfway.
I started it after Joe finished, so I'm
You're not quite
through it. Yeah.
I can't tell you, spoilers, Steve Conway is Luke Skywalker's father.
I will say I'm very concerned about the lack of sleep this man is getting.
Well, maybe he gets more sleep now.
I hope so.
Steve, do you get enough sleep? You get enough sleep, bud?
You get 8 hours. It's very important.
The book is called Shiprocked, Life on the Waves with Radio Caroline, by Steve Bartholomew Conway.
You can't...
It doesn't say Bartholomew on here, and I'm pretty sure that's not his middle name, but...
You can't just keep giving people middle names. We've talked about this.
It's a very good book. I've read it. It's very well written. It's very informative and entertaining. There's a lot of crazy shit that happens in this book. Slash his real life. It's based on his real life of being on a pirate radio ship.
That's cool as hell.
It's cool as hell. And I don't understand how someone that rad is into us, you know?
No, it's a fair question.
Especially a radio guy? I feel like we're nowhere near professional enough for this man.
Don't make him ask too many questions.
I think it's really neat. Every chapter title is the name of a band, and they all tie in with whatever that chapter is about, which is really clever. Good job, Steve Conway. I highly recommend it. He signed it to us, to Joe and Tony, with huge thanks for all your entertaining episodes.
Aww.
And I sent him a copy of Road Trippy. So
Hopefully it made it.
Yeah, he got it. He's read some
of it.
So he actually sent us two copies because the first one just never showed up.
It just got eaten by the U.S. postal system.
We may be getting a second one at some point, but...
It'll show up like a year later.
If we do get it, we'll pass it on to somebody else. Yeah. So share the good.
All right,
good
we
word.
Should probably talk about Doctor Who.
Nah, I don't want to. We do it every episode. It's like expected of us now.
You want to do something else?
Yeah.
What?
You're right. Let's talk about Doctor Who.
Okay.
So The Mark of the Rani. Let's dive in to episode one, which I have called An Inspiration of Geniuses. Because that's, I think the couple who wrote this are just geniuses. No, it's a reference to a line from the show. But I think it's a married couple.
No
I think.
Way.
Maybe they're brother and sister.
That seems like pertinent information.
You know, it's one of the two. Let's see. It's Pip and...
Makes me think Joe and I have been watching Merlin and...
Jane. Pip and Jane. Sorry.
Morgana and Morgos.
Oh, yes. Husband and wife.
We were watching an episode and... Cho was like, I like these witch lesbians. And I was like, they are sisters.
Pip is short for Philip. Pip and Jane Baker.
Pip is short for Philip?
Sure.
I think I'd like to start going by Pip. That's a solid name. I look like a Pip.
Your name's not Philip, though.
Yeah, so your cousin's name isn't the third.
That's true. His dad was a junior, though, so it's sort of makes
sense.
Just
named him Kip. Anyway.
So, Pip and Jane Baker wrote this episode. I watched the making of, and they seem kind of adorable. I like them.
Aww.
Yeah, let's talk about episode 1 of Market Running, An Inspiration of Geniuses. So first off, we see some miners, coal miners.
Yeah, not small children.
Yes. They're getting out of the mines and they're walking around in this town. This scene happens for what feels like an eternity.
They also have very strong accents.
They do. I don't know what the accent is, but it's very thick. And even when I looked up the, like, transcript for this when I was making GIFs and tidying up the notes, I still don't understand half of what was said because it's not just accent. It's also, like, vernacular, I guess, is the word. Like, the stuff they say is also, like, old-fashioned as fuck. So I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Too American.
Yeah. They say some certain word that means booze. I know that at some point. And I was like, what is he talking about? It's like, I'm almost too tired to lift the Barney or something. I don't remember. Maybe that's not right. Hold on. Mark of the Ronnie.
Pulling up a transcript.
Yeah. And I was like, what is he talking about? And then later somebody else said it. And it was in the context of drinking. And I was like, oh, you coming in, Jack? No, man. I don't think I've got the strength to lift a Toby.
A Toby.
And then somebody says it later. They say, I'm still a bit shook up. I need a Toby before I can tell Pitt about attack. Hey, we're not lost, Grandma. T'others will be along when they've emptied Toby's. So I'm assuming that means like a beer or something.
All right.
But I can't understand half of this dialogue. But like, yeah, this opening shot, there's like no dialogue for about good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It kind of seems a little cinematic too. Like a lot of this serial is filmed on location.
We're moving the camera again too.
And a lot of it's filmed on location, which always looks better because it's on film. And I think because we're in these two-parters and the extra long episodes, I think they sort of are like, we can just breathe a little. We don't have to rush to a cliffhanger, you know?
Yeah. So. Sorry.
What?
People listening can't see the little dance you just did when you said, breathe a little. You shook your shoulders.
I think they can tell by the way I said it. You can't say it the way I said it without doing a little shoulder wiggle. But these coal miners with heavy accents pass by an old woman who, like, beckons them into a bathhouse. They're going to get cleaned up.
And they get gassed, right?
Yeah, gas seeps out and they all pass out after they have some conversation that I couldn't understand.
And then Perry gets a new dress.
Yeah. There's a deleted scene where she comes out in it and, like, asks the doctor, what do you think? And, like, they're going to a specific place. I don't remember where. That explains why she's wearing that dress. But they call that out. It just starts with her, like, next to the doctor at the console in this weird dress.
In this princess dress, basically, with the big puffy sleeves. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pink and nice. She does look like a princess.
Apparently, it was one of her least favorite outfits.
Oh, no, really?
I think it's the best outfit she's had so far.
Is it her least favorite because, like, she thinks it's ugly, or was it uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable. Well, I think she also didn't think she looked great in it.
Well, she's got that, and then she's got, like, a little yellow jacket that goes over it, and it's also very cute.
I think she said she thought she looked like a balloon in it.
A balloon?
I mean, it's got the big hoop skirt, so.
Yeah.
But I think that looks neat. I think that's cool.
Joe thinks it's neat.
So they do a little bit of bickering about the TARDIS, but not too bad. The TARDIS is, you know, fucking up as it is wont to do, and I think the bickering is like, well, it's not you who's messed it up this time. It's something else.
Because something has pulled them off course.
Yeah, and there's potentially a time machine nearby that has interfered, basically. Basically, it's the master's pulled it in, right? That's what we're guessing?
Yeah.
We cut back to the gassed guys, the coal miners, who now have, the gas is cleared up, and they have gigantic red spots on their necks. You might even say mark.
They're about, like, I would say a little bit bigger than a quarter.
Well, they change in size throughout the
series. I was going to say, because I feel like there's one guy who has one that's, like, the size of a softball.
Yeah,
and it's like, why is it his so big?
It gets worse.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Like, they start off small and then get bigger. The more infuriated they get or whatever, I don't know. But yeah, there is someone who very specifically says something about, oh, the marks have gotten bigger. So, and then the TARDIS lands, and they get out, and Perry is very annoyed that they are in mud. She's in that nice pretty dress.
She probably has heels on, too.
Probably.
I have walked in the mud in heels, and it is not great, let me tell you.
I don't know how anyone can walk in heels at all. I don't like heels. I don't get it.
You get used to it. I mean, I don't wear heels a lot. If I'm going to wear them, they're like boots. Because I don't like high heels.
There's only two reasons people would wear heels, right? Which is to be taller And to make your butt look good?
It makes your legs look good, too.
On your legs? Okay, yeah. So three reasons.
Your calves.
Do you think I should wear heels?
You would be so, so tall. But yeah. You know what? Your legs would look great. You should give it a go.
All right. I can barely walk flat on the ground.
It just takes practice.
If you see me in roller skates, jeez.
I have.
Roller skates, it feels like it should make you fast and great and just be able to move so well. But I put them on, I'm like, and I move much slower.
Your problem is that you try to have your feet parallel and just push your feet forward and backwards. And that's not how you roller skate at all. You put your feet perpendicular and you use one to push the other.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why can't they just work the way that they work in my head?
I know physics. You have to push yourself forward.
Can they make roller skates that defy physics?
No, we should probably talk about Doctor Who.
You are really on task this episode.
I just don't know how many more times I can have this conversation about the fact that you roller skate wrong. I've tried. I've tried to teach you, and you keep doing it the way that doesn't make any sense.
One of these days, it's going to come around to my way of thinking.
You can't skate that way.
Watch me.
You have to push with one foot and glide with the other.
Sounds made up, but okay. We're talking about Doctor Who, Tony. So the marked men have a little bit of a towel fight. They like wake up and they just start snapping towels at each other. And they run outside and one of them kicks a child, a small child. And then they knock over this older guy, and they kick his potatoes. They were like, I think they were cooking potatoes and they just kick them. They're just like very violent, these men who now have marks on their necks, these
and
miners.
Rude.
Christine Cherry was very excited to see a small child get harmed. That's a weird inside joke we have about Christine Cherry.
No, it's not a joke. She enjoys when children come to harm.
All right. Take that up. Cut that bit. Post that on the internet. Just that bit alone. So the Doctor and Perry are tracking down this source of this time distortion that fucked up their TARDIS, and they don't hear any birds. I don't know what the significance of that is. It never comes back up. And also, in the next scene, there's the sound of birds.
There's the sound of birds.
Was that supposed to be setting something up?
I wonder if it did, and then, like, finally somebody was like, we can't edit out the sound of all these birds.
Right. But also, like...
But the line's still in.
The line's still there, and it doesn't... Nothing happens with these.
Maybe there just weren't any birds.
Maybe there's not any birds in that section where the time distortion is? I don't know. I don't understand it. Anyway, they're like, maybe it's that scarecrow over there. And they're like, I've never seen a scarecrow that good. Scaring off all the birds. And then they walk off.
Do you think... You know what it was?
What?
The master's just a damn good scarecrow.
What do you mean? This is just a normal scarecrow, isn't it?
Of course.
But it turns to watch them walk away. Yeah, it's the master. How long has he been there? Why has he done this?
To chase birds.
The master had to put on a whole fucking costume, mm-hmm. Stuff himself with straw, climb up on this pole, and just hang out there, waiting for the doctor to pass? Why?
The drama of it all.
Why?
He's extra.
You know what this reminded me of, too? New Who. There's an episode with, like, scary scarecrows, right? The one where he becomes human.
Human nature?
Human nature, yeah. I wonder if that's a sort of an homage to this serial. Who knows? If you know, write in.
Don't tell me.
Oh. Oh, okay. Meanwhile, the marked men stop a cart that is carrying a big piece of machinery on it, and they shove the machinery off the back of the cart, smashing it, and proceed to fight the driver as well. And the driver comes back at them, hitting them with a shovel. Very softly hitting them with a shovel.
Ever so gently.
Then the doctor and Perry come up to help. And two of the men run off. The one that got hit with the shovel, they see the big red mark on his neck, but then he gets up and runs off as well. And the cart driver says that the machinery was for George Stevenson. And the doctor gets very nerd boy excited. He's very excited about George Stevenson and is talking about like how much of a genius he is. And he wants to meet him and see him. Meanwhile, the scarecrow climbs over a gate wall laughing. And that's when you knew who it was.
Oh, yeah. They don't. I guess they don't reveal his face till later. I recognize that dumb laughter.
I didn't, so I was like, But when you said, oh, I know who that asshole is, I was like, oh, okay. It's the master. Then the driver gives the doctor and Perry a ride into town. They're in the back of the cart. And as they drive past the bathhouse, he's got this device that's like trying to find the source of the time distortion. It goes off as they pass by the bathhouse. And the camera does a really nice thing where it like, as it goes off, they like the camera twists to show the old woman at the bathhouse following them with her eyes. With her eyes. Following them with their eyes. That doesn't even matter. How did she use their eyes?
That's distressing.
Yeah, no, sorry. She follows them with her eyes as they pass by. But they're like, maybe we hit a bump and that's why it went off. So they don't even like care that there was a signal there. Because now the doctor is more into finding Stevenson. They've been told that he's in the pit, so they're going to go find Stevenson in the pit. The driver's also like, put in a good word for me, because they're going to be pissed that all that machinery broke. So let them know what happened so they don't get mad at me, because you guys know that it wasn't my fault. And that's when he's going to like, I need a Toby to calm my nerves. More men go into the bathhouse as the scarecrow. Well, you just see the hat fly around a corner and then some straw. And then the master comes walking out and he's pulling the straw off of himself. So why was he in it?
So that he could be there and watch the doc. Like he pulled the doctor in, right?
Yeah. And this is the only way he could do it?
So that he could, like, spy on the doctor.
And they wouldn't be weirded out being followed by a moving scarecrow?
I mean, he brought the TARDIS there. So he knew that the doctor was going to be in the field where he was. So he could watch him from the field?
And then see where he's going.
Yes.
Okay.
And then stop being the scarecrow.
Sure.
But the real answer is just because he likes it.
He does. Too much. Then he says very dramatically that he's got a death to arrange. The doctor's way into the pit is blocked by guards and a very good doggo. Also, the guard says, you need a pass. They come up with some excuse for why they don't have a pass. And he's like, well, then you need to be on the list. And the doctor's like, let me see that. And just takes the list out of his hand and is looking at it. And I was like, oh, he's going to say, we're these people. But he doesn't. He's just like, oh my God, look at all these names.
He's like, we're not on this at all.
Holy shit. There's this guy and this guy and this. Oh my God, Perry, do you know who this guy is?
Do you know what's great about this dog? Because like later it's like guarding them, right? And the doctor is like afraid of it and tiptoeing around of it. And everyone's acting afraid of it. That looks like the sweetest dog.
It does.
That dog is never like.
His tail is constantly wagging.
Yeah, he's never in anything but like the most friendly like dog body language. And I was like, what?
He does bark a bit.
That dog wants to be loved so bad.
But this list of geniuses is where the title from this episode comes from for the title I gave it. They're like, it's a bunch of geniuses. And I think Perry says, like, what do you call like a collection of geniuses? And I think the doctor says an inspiration of geniuses. Or maybe she does. One of them says an inspiration of geniuses. And then the doctor's like, anyway, I'm a genius too. You should let me in. Because Perry calls him the doctor. And he's like, oh, you're a doctor? And he's like, and I'm an inventor too. Look at this shit, and holds up the device that he's been tracking the thing with. Perry's like, I'm sorry, he's a little eccentric. They're like, well, we're going to put you in this building over here, and I'm going to go talk to somebody and see if we can let you in. And so he leads him off, and the doctor's like, eccentric? That's preposterous. They get taken to the room, and that's when the dog blocks the door. But the dog seems spooked by something and leaves, and what he's spooked by is the master. There's like a gate between them, the master and the dog, and the dog jumps up on the gate and is barking ferociously at the master. And the master pulls out his TCE and shoots the dog. He kills the dog, and he kills another guard that comes running up. We don't get to see the tiny dog,
which is a real shame.
You like tiny things. How do you feel about tiny dogs?
I mean, it's sad when they're dead.
It's like, what kind of dog is that, do you think?
I don't remember.
It's black. Doberman? Chris is yelling at us right now. Hey, Chris, what's that dog?
I don't remember. We watched it a long time ago. Is it just a big dog?
It's a big dog. Not anymore.
No.
Now it's a tiny dead dog.
Oh.
So the master then sees the marked men. They come rushing up at him, yelling and stuff. And he convinces them that the doctor is here to steal their jobs. Because that's why they are smashing the machinery and stuff. Or at least that's why they think. The people here think that they're, was it Luddites? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
People who are opposed to machinery taking over their jobs and whatnot. And he's like, this doctor here is coming to take jobs away from you, so you should go kill him. So they're like, cool, let's go do that. The marked men charge at the doctor. He's right next to a big well. Well? I hate pronouncing words with the letter E. You always yell at me that I've done it wrong. The W-E-L-L. Well? As a big hole.
Are you trying to say well?
Yeah, is that what I said? Well?
Kind of sounded like you said whale.
Damn it. So there's a great big hole in the ground. And they rush at him and they knock his device out of his hand and it goes flying down the big hole in the ground.
Just say well. You're allowed to have an accent.
And then they knock the doctor into the great big hole in the ground. I'm not saying it. You can't make me.
Just say well.
Well. I'm self-conscious now.
Oh.
So they knock him into the well and he grabs onto a chain to keep from falling in. Then one of the men falls in the well as well. Oh, also. God. Do you remember when that guy fell into the well?
Oh, it looks so bad. What did they even do?
I think they just put him on like a green screen or something and then spun the camera around, maybe? And he's just on his back like a I've fallen and can't get up and sort of position.
So like they just cut it and moved the video down the well? Is that...
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's just because it's a big black void.
Yeah. You
know? And he just... and spins in it.
Why is he spinning?
That's a good question. The scale is terrible, though. He looks so tiny, and he should not be that tiny.
It's bad.
The doctor is saved by a man who fires a gun. His name is Lord Ravensworth, and they all go running. And the doctor's like, thank you. And he's like, they could have killed you. It takes me like 5 minutes to reload this fucking thing. But also, don't thank me just yet. Who the fuck are you? You come storming in saying, I'm a genius, let me in. Who are you, though?
What's your deal?
They go into a little office, and the doctor admits to trickery, but only because he's super into George Stevenson.
Guy's like, yeah, I know, I've met nerd boys before.
He's also like, I'm pretty sure you're not like a disgruntled worker, because he like takes a look at his hands and he's like, yeah, those hands have never seen a day of work in their life. And then he just sort of talks about, like, you know, concerned about all these people around town changing their personality and becoming very violent. Meanwhile, back at the bathhouse, we see the old woman who is, you know, gassing these guys, and she puts a giant stethoscope thing on their neck, which makes the marks. The master is sort of sneaking around this bathhouse. He sees the wall slide open and men being carried around, and then he just pops up in there. And the way that they film him entering this lair of this old woman is his face pops up distorted inside of the, like, his face is seen through a bottle,
mm-hmm.
like a lab
and bottle. And there's a quirky comedy music cue that goes along with it.
Whoop! It's fantastic. He starts talking to her and she rips off her face.
God, are they all like this?
Any sort of villain, yeah, from Gallifrey. Any villainous Gallifreyan.
Gallifrey, what makes y'all like that?
This is the Ronnie, by the way.
Which I've been wanting to get to this character, because I swear to God, every time there's a new character in New Who where it's like, there's gonna be this returning character, or there's this new female character, everyone's always like, is it the Ronnie? I bet it's the Ronnie. I have a theory. I have a headcanon. I think it's the Ronnie. And I don't know who the fuck the Ronnie is.
Now you do.
So I'm very happy to get to this character.
She was like talking about, though, like, this mask, it took like a long time to like make, because they like did a plaster,
yeah, like,
and then she's
face.
Like, it's literally on screen for like less than 2 seconds. It's literally just on there when she rips it off. She's like, I don't know why we did this. The woman who plays her was not famous at the time. I mean, she'd done some stuff. She had not done her most prominent role, though. She, I believe, was on Dynasty. Big soap opera. I don't know if you've heard of it. I'm sure you've heard of Dynasty.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I've heard of it.
That's an American soap opera, isn't it?
It just says I don't know anything about it.
Anyway, this is the Ronnie, and she's very annoyed that the master is there. And the master says he wants to help her, but she's like, I know you don't. You're just here for the doctor, because that's what you always fucking do.
Because you're obsessed with him. Literally everyone knows you're obsessed with him. It's embarrassing.
And he's like, well, if you're not going to help me, I'm going to fuck shit up. And like he goes and starts jiggling the stethoscope thing. And then she yells at, there's these two men that she's got, I guess, under her control. She yells at them to kill him. And then the master shrinks one of them. His name is Tom. But then she tells the other one, Josh, to stop, to not kill him. She's like, I'll talk to you, master, whatever. Then we cut to two women who are talking about how their husbands have gone missing. Are Josh and Tom.
Oh, no!
Talking about how they would never join the Luddites and stuff, so... Also, they have babies, so you know it's really bad, because these men have wives and children.
Aw, babies.
I was a little surprised that they just had babies. That seems like an unnecessary wrinkle for filming.
Oh, you mean like to have babies on set?
Yeah, and it's not like fake babies. It's definitely real babies. They are crying and you can see them moving and stuff. I don't know. I would not have written that into a script. Especially considering like how inconsequential they are. I feel like that would just slow things down and like have to cast babies and shit. And there's like rules for that. I don't know. This is what my brain thinks about.
Are they in anything but this one scene?
No.
It was probably fine. They probably shot for like 10 minutes.
And they got paid. But see, that's an unnecessary expense.
Okay.
And they had two of them. Two babies. Two whole babies.
That's too many.
That's
got to
be like, what, $50 a piece? At least.
I don't know how much you pay babies.
Also, it'd probably be pounds, wouldn't it? So there, since the master has shrunken one of the men, Ronnie needs a replacement. So she gets another passed out guy and opens a little box, pulls out a maggot that she feeds to the man.
Oh, they're so gross.
And
she's got like a box full of them, and she opens the box and they're all in there wriggling
around. Ugh. And then you can see her pick one up, and then her hand conveniently goes out of shot and then comes back in and puts it in his mouth. And once he eats it, his eye glows blue, and then he's under her control. Then the master steals the box of maggots. He does this a lot. He just, like, steals shit from her, and she's like, what the fuck?
But then she can't get it back. She's just like, okay, fine, I'll do what you want. The master is basically holding her stuff over her head, being like, you can't get it! You can't get it! And the Ronnie's like, fine, I'll do what you want. Like, that is the only thing that he has over her, is that he keeps taking her shit and not giving it back.
The next thing he does is he steals another thing, because he's like, you got a really sweet racket going on here. You've made all these people violent. And she's like, actually, that is not the point of what I'm doing. It is a side effect of what I'm doing. All I really need is I'm taking these brain chemicals from these humans because it helps you sleep.
She's like, these are the chemicals in the human brain that helps you sleep. And the whole time we were watching it, I was like, so melatonin? You can just pop over to Now and buy some. They sell them in stores. You can get them in gummies if you need a whole bunch of melatonin.
That's not evil enough, though.
We just sell it.
She's stealing these from humans, which makes them violent because they, without it, I don't know, they get angry. And she's going to take it back to her planet that she rules. But those people are having like a problem, and the only cure to, they're very violent on her planet. So she's going to give them this chemical to calm them the fuck down. And she's apparently been doing this for a very long time. She just does it whenever there's like wars or, you know, riots or whatever, because people don't
question
it. Yeah. And then that's the master steals the vial of brain chemicals that she's gotten out of these humans. He steals it from her because she's like, this is what I've been doing. And he's like, yoink, mine now. So he's stolen maggots and he's stolen the vial of brain chemicals.
Again, she just kind of is like, like, she doesn't make any attempt to get them back.
Well, I think she's afraid of him breaking it. She's got a very minuscule amount, and she's like drained like 5-6 people, so like it doesn't produce much. It took me forever to get this much. I'm not gonna risk losing it. And he threatens to break it if he doesn't use her scanner to find the doctor, because she has a scanner in this room. Oh, he is in this episode.
The doctor?
No, this character that I wasn't sure if he was in this before episode 1. I remember he was in episode 2, and both me and you were like, was he in the first episode? The doctor wants to see the son of one of the marked men, Luke Ward, who also happens to be Stevenson, George Stevenson's assistant. Because the doctor is checking out like what's going on with all these violent men. And that's like when the Ronnie is watching them on the scanner. And also the master is trying to use the scanner. And like they're slapping each other to like get out of the way so they can use the scanner. They're just adorably fighting. It's like the doctor and Perry, but like less uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they clearly hate each other.
Which is fine.
Because they're villains. They don't need to get along. The Ronnie agrees to help the master do his plan, whatever that happens to be. The master is about to head out, and she grabs some capsules, but the master is very suspicious of them. He doesn't steal them, though, but she says they're for her lungs because the atmosphere here is rough on her asthma. It's a fucking lie. But the master quite rightly says, I don't trust you. Don't touch them until I leave. You can use them if they're for your lungs, but don't wait for me to leave. And he leaves, and she's like, damn it. Meanwhile, the doctor questions Luke. who says he last saw his dad heading for the bathhouse. And then that's when the doctor realizes that all of the marked men who were coal miners were very clean. Which, they didn't really have time to get clean before they got gassed.
I haven't thought about it, but you're right.
Did she clean them?
Oh, God. Maybe.
So the doctor goes outside, puts a coat on, changes his coat, and rubs dirt on his face because he's going to follow a, as Perry would say, a haunch.
A haunch.
He is speaking in an American accent. A haunch. It's very hilarious. I'm going to put in the audio clip, so probably for the stinger. So stick around for that. Also, fun fact, according to the documentary, they made fake dirt for him to rub on his face. That was basically just makeup. And they're like, it's right here. Just do it. And they did a test and it worked. And they did something, went to do something else and they came back. And they were filming the scene where he rubs dirt on his face. He was unaware that a dog had shit right there.
Oh, God, no.
And he put it on his face and he was like, oh, God, it smells so bad. And they're like,
no.
And they're like, hold there for continuity. And they left him there for like 5 minutes with shit on his face.
Wow, they are real rough on him.
They were just fucking with him. Like, they could have taken it off. He stood there with like shit on, dog shit on his face. Fights.
Oh my gosh, they are mean.
No one likes Colin Baker. It's sad. But basically, he's going to go undercover as a coal miner and check out this bathhouse. That's his plan. So the master is going around in the mines. I don't remember why. The Ronnie has one of the men she has under control attack him, but then like immediately calls it off because she's like, fuck, he's going to break the vial of chemicals. So she stops it. She doesn't just call him off. She straight up like kills him. And he's like laying on the ground, and then the master notices the great big red mark on his neck, and he says, ah,
the mark of the Ronnie. Of the
Ronnie.
He said it.
He said the thing. And then he tells another villager there that the doctor killed this man with a machine, and then shows them, the machine, and it's a picture of the TARDIS. And he's like, that's the machine that killed that guy. You should go get it and throw it in the pit. And they're like, yeah. That checks out.
Sure.
The Ronnie is watching this on her scanner. And then she's like, what the fuck is he doing? And then she's like, I don't know what he's doing. It'll be something devious and overcomplicated. He'd get dizzy if he tried to walk in a straight line. And I'm like, that is the greatest, most succinct description of the master.
It's fantastic.
So the doctor slips in with these other men and into the bathhouse who all pay their coins into a little bucket. And the doctor just picks the little bucket up and shakes it to make it sound like he paid. And then proceeds to get gassed. They all get gassed. The doctor doesn't find out anything. He doesn't sneakily do anything.
He just gets gassed.
And then Ronnie's got him on the table and she's like going to put the stethoscope on. But then she's like, And then she checks his vitals and hears two heartbeats. And then she wakes him up because she realizes this is a Time Lord. Or the doctor. I don't know if she knows he's the doctor, but
I mean, she knows that the doctor is there, so she probably figures.
And then the doctor wakes up and he recognizes her. And then he insults her raggedy clothes. And she insults his raggedy face.
There's no, like, here's the thing.
She's like, I didn't change my clothes. You can't change that face.
I'm certain that there is fan fiction of this. Like, I know there's a lot of, like they all went to school together or whatever. These people all dated. Possibly at the same time. These people have all...
What do you mean dated?
They have all fucked each other.
Oh, for sure. I think they all still date. I don't think any of them ever actually called it off. It's just they dip in and out when they need to.
Yeah.
There is a scene later on, I didn't leave it in my notes, but there is a scene where like the doctor says something like about how much he dislikes her. But he's like, I wonder if I was nice to her. Oh, never mind. But like,
I mean, he specifically wants some sort of like formula or some science thing for her.
I think it's like something about her TARDIS.
Yeah.
So, which we'll get to that. But yeah, so it's like, I don't know. There's some stuff going on there. She leaves and tells her guards to not kill the doctor, but if the doctor does anything, to kill this other guy, this villager that's on the table next to him.
Which is like a good call. Like, that's definitely somebody who knows the doctor very well.
The Ronnie leaves and Perry comes in because she was like following the doctor because she's like, I think he's gonna fuck something up, so I better keep an eye on him. And then once she sees the Ronnie leave, she goes in and finds the doctor. And the doctor's like, don't help me help this other guy. They'll kill that guy, so get him out. Perry is very slow to do it. She's just like very cautious and like, won't the guards do something? And he's like, no, just fucking do it. And she just very slowly walks over to it. And he's like, please, for the love of God. And she takes so long that she's starting to push it out. And she gets caught by the Ronnie and the Master, who both come in at the same time. Meanwhile, the villagers get the TARDIS. They are trucking it through the forest. They've got it on a cart.
I like when the TARDIS gets moved by cart.
Me too. And then the Master says that he's going to snuff the Doctor's candle. And the Doctor is like, you fucking nerd. Who says that? It's like, you've never had style. And he's like, I'm going to kill the Doctor. Then I'm going to kill Perry. But Ronnie says not to. And the Ronnie says not to. And is it Ronnie or the Ronnie? Can you say either?
The Ronnie.
The Ronnie. See, the thing is, I've watched Sarah Jane Adventures, so I'm used to just saying Ronnie. But the Ronnie says not to kill Perry. And the Doctor's like, oh, at least you have a heart.
I think I'm just going to put a the in front of my name.
The Tony?
The Tony.
All right.
That's my name now.
I will abide by that.
Fantastic.
The Ronnie doesn't want to kill Perry. And the Doctor thinks that she's at least a little bit better than the Master because of that. But the only reason she doesn't want to kill Perry is because she can get that brain juice.
The sweet, sweet melatonin.
Which I'm not going to need tonight. I am dead tired.
I'm so
We built stuff today.
We're putting shelves in.
Bookshelves in our library area.
And we're building the brackets.
We're learning. Learning and growing. A little bit of yelling. But not...
Just a small amount.
Just a small amount. Just a normal amount. I yelled a little bit when you drilled my finger.
Oh, yeah. I do feel badly about that.
That's all right. There's only a little bit of bone showing.
It slipped out of the...
Yeah, it was a very superficial. Like, it didn't even bleed. Much. anyway, the Master is revealed that his plan is he wants to use these geniuses that are congregating for his own nefarious purposes to take over the world or whatever. And he's going to destroy the TARDIS. And they see it on the scanner, the villagers moving the TARDIS on the cart. And the Doctor's like, oh, wow, that's really good. The Ronnie's done really good on that scanner. It shows what you want to see and not what's actually there. She's tricking you, Master. And the Master's like, Is she? And so the Master has Perry, because here's a problem I have with this scene. The Doctor is on like a gurney, I guess. And usually in scenes like this, where like the Doctor or anybody is strapped to a table, they have the table up at an angle.
So you can see them?
They do not in this scene. It's very flat. And every scene is Colin Baker awkwardly like shoving his head up like, hey.
I'm trying to talk to y'all.
Sam is your evil voice. It's very awkward. I don't know if you noticed.
Not particularly.
I was making the gifs and I was like, this framing seems awkward. Why does it look so weird? And I realized because like usually they crank
it has
up
to be flat because of what happens next.
Yes. The Master has Perry push the Doctor outside to watch the TARDIS being shoved into a pit. And then they shove the TARDIS into the pit.
You know what's great about this too? Perry's the one who does this. This is a cliffhanger and it's the Doctor in peril. It is not the Master's fault. It's Perry's.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, it 100% is. Well, they see the TARDIS go into the pit, which that's a cool shot. We see it from below as it falls into the pit.
Looks a lot better than the man falling into the pit, for sure.
I think it might have been like a miniature, so that's probably why it looks so good. Then the Doctor distracts the Master, kicks something out of his hand, I think.
Yeah.
And he's like, Perry, push me. And like, she shoves him. And he's like, not that way.
She pushes him just down a hill.
And he just goes fucking out of control down the hill. You know how they did that?
No. They just did it. I believe that. I think this crew wants to kill Colin Baker.
Yeah, that's what they did. They just shoved him down a hill.
They just shoved him down a hill and they said, well, we just got to do it. And then they left him strapped to the gurney for hours.
No, what it was is, if you notice, it's solid underneath him.
Oh.
There's a driver under there.
He's driving the cart.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
You think that would be the cliffhanger, but some people stop him. The villagers stop him, and then they move him over onto a track that leads into the pit. And then they shove him some more, and then he goes rolling towards the pit.
Yeah, I don't know why it needed that extra step.
I don't know either.
I don't know why he couldn't just be rolling towards the pit.
There is a track leading to the pit, so maybe that's why?
Probably like, just easier to film. Like, that's probably how it was written. I have no idea.
But that is the cliffhanger, is him heading towards the pit. As the end of episode one, and we are now into episode two, which I've called Dawn of the Dinosaur.
There's a dinosaur?
There is a dinosaur. We'll get there. I'm excited. So the Doctor's heading toward the pit, and he gets saved by George Stevenson, who does not remove him from the gurney right away. He's just like, what are these weird metal straps? This is very interesting.
Why are you strapped to this table?
And he's like more interested in the mechanics of it than anything. He's not like, why are you strapped to the table? Stevenson does eventually get him off of the gurney. And the Doctor asks him to cancel the meeting because things are, you know, bad. And that's when we see Luke again. And that was when I was like, have we seen him before?
Do we know who this is?
And he was. I just forgot him. But he's very concerned about his dad because he's one of the Markmen. The Master
hypnotizes Luke.
Yeah, he's going to go look for his dad. That's what it is. And the Master sees him outside of, like, the bar, I think. And he hypnotizes him with his little thing. He pulls out a maggot and says, swallow this sweet meat.
That is truly awful.
On every level, there's nothing about it that feels good.
No. Why? That was a choice.
Yeah.
That was a choice that was made, and I'd like to know who to hold accountable.
Pip and Jane Baker.
I just want to talk to them.
Swallow this sweet meat, and then he shoves a maggot in his mouth.
I just have some questions. Like, why? Actually, that's it. I just have the one question.
You can write to us at watchrasslon@gmail.com.
Or probably.
Rasslon.
It's Watch Your right. Ass on Twitter.
It's Watch Rasslon.
Which is very funny of me.
Yeah, you're hilarious.
Yeah.
People should recognize that more and follow you on Twitter at FWDPWR.
Do you know, I know this is not at all the time for this. I've gotten like 3 followers and they're all from the podcast. I love you. I love you so much. I can also tell there's like a couple of people who like clearly haven't been on Twitter in like a year who like went on Twitter to follow me. Bless you. Bless you. You're the best.
Aw, you guys are sweet. So he hypnotizes Luke and gets him under his control and tells him to destroy anyone trying to prevent the meeting. The Doctor is chilling, hanging out with Stevenson, checking out like an engine he's designed or something, until Perry is like, hey, you know there's an episode happening, right? He's like, shit, you're right.
We've got plot to do.
He climbs out from underneath the engine and like, I'm gonna go do stuff, I guess. Hanging out with George Stevenson. It was cool. They head outside and a marked man, one of the marked men, grabs Perry and they swing this big, I don't know, thing on a chain. They swing it at the Doctor and you just see his feet jump and then it knocks a whole bunch of barrels into the river. A guard saves Perry from the guy and she runs over to the river because she thinks the Doctor has been knocked in. And then he walks up and he's like, you're gonna destroy that pretty dress you're in, all crouched in the mud like this. And then she's like, how did you get away from that? And he says, I don't know if this is a pun. I feel like it's a pun. He says, peripheral vision.
That is definitely a pun, and fuck him.
We've had Perry A in the last episode, and now peripheral vision.
Because he doesn't just say peripheral vision. He says
peripheral.
Peri.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Peripheral vision.
You want to hit that I harder to make it a pun.
Peripheral. Peripheral vision.
Peripheral. Peripheral.
It's not only a pun, it's a very bad one.
It's terrible.
It's not easy to say. And just like, you might be like, well, if it's more difficult, doesn't that mean it's better? Like,
no.
It's more. No, it's bad.
It's
gotta
roll off the tongue. It can't like be a stretch. Meat. No, don't put sweet meat on your tongue.
Fine. The Master continues to try to get the Ronnie to join his team. He's going to control the geniuses and rule the planet. Once that happens, the Ronnie can milk as many human brains as she wants and no longer have to do it in secret. And the Master will let her do this if she'll keep providing him with the maggots, because he doesn't know how to do that. And he likes them and he wants them because he can control the geniuses with them. And they're like, well, we need to go somewhere else because our hideout's sort of been found out by the Doctor. So they prepare to leave and the Master's like, you can't leave these guys behind. And she's like, you're right. And she proceeds to kill Josh and Tom.
No, Josh and Tom.
Well, actually, one of them was already dead, so it's the new guy. I don't know, she kills two of them.
Josh and some other guy.
Josh and Tom, too. Some marked men, including Luke's dad, I believe, are brought to Ravensworth, who is getting very tired of this violent bullshit. And one of them, like, grabs a chair and is going to throw it at him. And then, like, they yell at him, and he's like, put that down. And he's like, and he puts the chair down, and he goes, now sit in it. And I thought that was a very good bit of dialogue.
Not only that, but he doesn't say sit in it. He says, sit on it.
Sit on it, Potsy.
That's exactly what I thought when he said it. Now sit on it.
Truly was some happy days. Luke tells Stevenson that Ravensworth didn't want to cancel the meeting, which is the exact opposite of what he was told. And Stevenson's like, well, I'm going to go talk to him because I think we need to cancel the meeting. And he's like, well, I'll go get him. Luke's like, I'll go get him. You stay here. And then Luke tells Ravensworth that Stevenson is at the pit for a demonstration. So he's like keeping them apart, trying to keep this meeting going. He wants all the geniuses to show up because that's what the master wants them to do. Ravensworth's like, I'm gonna cancel the meeting. And Luke tentatively grabs a metal spike while he's talking to him and says that Stevenson wouldn't want to cancel the meeting. He wants to just show off this thing. And he's like, he wouldn't do it unless he was sure it was safe. And Ravensworth is like, I guess you're right. So he puts the spike back down.
That whole scene, I was thinking, have you ever seen that picture that people post after they figure out somebody was joking? They're like, oh, he was joking. Saying this, she casually cast aside a large rock. That's what that scene made me think of.
I've never seen that meme.
Oh, I'll send it to you sometime.
Thank you. The doctor and Perry return to the bathhouse and make a bunch of Shakespeare references. He says some quote, and she's like, okay, but what about this quote? He's like, ah, yes, I need to see him again one day. The bard.
The bard.
They find...
You'll get around to it.
They find the dead guys, Josh and whoever. The doctor's like, Ronnie only thinks of them as walking chemicals. There's no place for the soul in her scheme of things. Which is the genesis for this episode, by the way. Pippin... Jane, we're talking about, like, they overheard somebody saying something about, they were talking about something scientific and someone went, but what about the soul of the thing? And they're like, that's an episode, I guess. I don't know. The master and the Ronnie make their way through the mines. The master is annoyed that they didn't take her TARDIS. She's like, well, my TARDIS is busy. And he's like, is it too much to ask why? And
she says, yes. I do really like the Ronnie.
I do, too.
She's fun.
She's got... a sharp wit.
She's very no-nonsense, too.
The next scene, I don't understand why he does this. They see that it's been cleared out, but there's like a big, I don't know, painting, which is hiding the TARDIS, basically.
Oh, yeah, this is bizarre.
It's got like a painting of a volcano on it.
There's a problem, and it's because the doctor makes it a problem.
He puts like some fishing line on it that he pulls out of his pocket. He unreels it, and he's like, what do you think? Should I do it? And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he pulls it. And then, like, the volcano on the painting starts, like, erupting gas. Why did he set it off?
It was just like, the doctor was like, oh, man, this button says do not press. I'ma press it.
And so Perry has to run and grab gas masks that are there because, like, that's what they used when they were dragging the bodies in, right? And she gets masks and she chucks one to the doctor and they put them on and they're fine. And she opens the door to let out the excess. And then
it have to be tripped in order to get to the TARDIS?
I guess.
But they could have put the masks on
first?
Before.
Yeah. I don't understand it. But they move it and they see like a big cabinet, but it's the TARDIS. And they go inside.
And it looks so good. Oh, it's
so fucking cool.
Oh, her like center like column are these like rotating rings. And it looks like they're, like, you know, rotating on top of each other.
It's just spinning. They use that exact same effect in Superman the movie. At the very beginning of the movie, when they're on Krypton, Jor-El is banishing these three guys to the oh shit, what's that thing where it's like a flat piece of glass that they're stuck in? Shit.
iPad.
Yeah, they're stuck inside. Anyway, there's these bad guys and he banishes them basically to this like forbidden zone. I don't remember what it's called. Wow, that's gonna bug me. I should know what it's called. The flat place. Anyway, when he's got the bad guys and he's like sentencing them, they're inside those rings. So it looks like they're going wobble, 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 but it's just secured in one place and they just spin it around and it looks like that. But it's the same effect, but it's on the center console. So if you've seen Superman the movie, you know what it looks like. Also, outside of the console, by the way, the room is gray. Like, it's sort of like stone looking, the walls and stuff. I'm pretty sure it's just the TARDIS set redressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like the same dimensions and everything. The door's in a different place, I think.
There are these great big tubes.
Yeah, there's like columns with glass jars on top, basically.
Yeah.
And there's liquid in the jars.
And inside the liquid...
Keep in mind, there's more than one of these. There's like six or seven.
Around the center console. Are dinosaur embryos?
T-Rexes specifically, yes.
Yep. Like they're in it and it's just like... What's that about? She's like, tinkering.
It's very weird. I'm for it.
Like, why? It's part of an experiment. What experiment? Dinosaurs.
Okay. Why not?
Honestly, probably not even part of an experiment. It's probably just...
decor.
Yes.
She does, like, later, like, water them and stuff or whatever, keeping them
healthy.
I mean, they don't do nothing, though. It's not even like they're floating in it, like, in the middle. They're, like... full.
Yeah.
They, like, fill that jar up, and, like, part of them sticking out of the top. It's very cramped in there. Anyway, it's right now it's just the Doctor and Perry in it, and then the console, center console thing starts to spin, and the Doctor's like, get out of here! And Perry does, and the TARDIS dematerializes. And Perry's like, what the fuck? You've left me stranded here in the past, you asshole. The Doctor does not care. He's just, like, watching it like, haha, this is neat. Fascinating. And this is when he says the thing about wondering if he was nice to the Ronnie. I guess he just wants this TARDIS.
There's something special about her TARDIS. Like, oh, she...
it works.
I think that might be what it was. Maybe if I was nice to the Ronnie, she'll teach me how to drive.
Or it could be the fact of what we learn next, which is that the Ronnie has the TARDIS on a remote control. And then I'm asking, like, that's neat. And the TARDIS appears in the mines where they were running around. And they go inside as the Doctor hides. And the Ronnie removes her ratty disguise entirely. No mask now, no clothes. And now she's just in this rocking, like, she got, like, leather pants on.
It is a great...
very
outfit.
80s.
Oh my gosh, she looks like a rock star.
She does. It's super fucking rad. It's like a... is it like a leopard print or something?
I don't think it's leopards. I remember it being very glittery.
Yeah, there's definitely like a cool pattern on it, though. Oh yeah, it's not leopard. It's like there's orange and white stripes, but like in different... it's not like just striped. It's like little blocks and stuff. I don't know. It looks really cool. Triangles and stuff. It's very cool. I have it as my background, so that's why I can tell. I just looked at it. And then she gets some, what I was like, looked like giant frisbees. I was like, why is she getting a bunch of frisbees? But it turns out they're mines. So they leave with these mines. And when they leave, the Doctor crawls up underneath the TARDIS console and fusses with something. Then he leaves, flips a coin to decide which way to go. That's a very Fifth Doctor thing. And he trips.
I love it.
He trips over something on his way out, which I didn't realize was important, but kind of is. Not that important, but it's important. He trips over something and you hear like a... err. He gets outside. I don't know why this joke always gets me. He doesn't do it when he flips the coin, but like he gets outside and he points in one direction
and
then
walks
in the other.
It's a solid bit.
It always gets me every damn time. Meanwhile, Perry is brought to Stevenson, and they all want to find the Doctor, and the marked men are getting antsier. They're just, like, screaming now for, like, just like, ah! For, like, no reason. They're just freaking the fuck out. I'm sorry. Then Luke tells Stevenson that one of the geniuses coming in, Faraday, was attacked, and that he should go get him. And then he weirdly holds a rifle. Stevenson's like, well, I'm gonna go... help Faraday. Give me that rifle. He won't let it go for a second, and then he finally does. And he's like, well, go tell Ravensworth that I'm going to go do this. And he just stares at him for a second. He's like, go. Not suspecting that anything is up. So the Doctor finds Perry as he comes like jollily walking up towards her from the woods. He's like, ah, here I am. And she's like, you're an asshole. I thought you had left me. I didn't. I wouldn't do that. I'm the Doctor. I think at this point, their bickering is fine now. I don't know. It's not bothering me as much as it used to. Like, it's not... she's not crying. She's just annoyed.
She's not openly weeping.
Yeah. She's just like, annoyed, and that's fine. I think annoyed is fine and understandable. It's when she's terrified that I'm like,
Someone help her.
And she's not, like, overly angry. She's just like, I don't know, it's more funny.
Oh, you.
Yeah. They go to Ravensworth. They inform him that the reason the Marked Men are so angry is because they've had their sleep removed. And then Luke shows up and claims to not know where Stevenson is.
I love this next scene, this scene coming up.
The Ronnie and the Master place landmines in the forest, and there is a very intense close-up of her just putting some leaves on them.
This is such a weird, bad plan. Like, there's so much going on, and it's like, all right, now let's just go out to the forest. Because I've got some landmines that are just laying around, not being used. It's like she just got them, like she just ordered them from Space Amazon. Fuck Kerblam, I guess. I just got, like, incredibly infuriated that that's actually a thing that I have to acknowledge. It's like she just got them in and is like, oh, wait, let's do this.
Has anyone said Kerblamazon?
You just did.
Did I? But yeah, but am I the first?
I don't know.
Dibs, TM.
Like, there's no other reason for them to do this.
Also, who's going to go out into this forest? Do they have a plan to lead the doctor out here?
I mean, they do. He does.
Yeah, but it's like very coincidental. It's a terrible fucking plan. There's more to it, and we'll get to it. It's not just landmines. You'll see. Hold on.
It's a mess.
The doctor stops Stevenson. He finds Stevenson, and he stops him from looking for Faraday, saying, like, don't do that. Also, don't trust Luke, because he's like, Luke told me that Faraday was attacked. He's like, Luke just told me that he didn't know where you were, so don't trust him. And then he's like, I'll go. I think the doctor's like, I'll go take care of Faraday. And then he's like, well, here, you'll need this rifle. And the doctor's like, oh, no, thank you. I've given them up. He's like, what? He's like, oh, guns are very bad for your health.
I do kind of like this scene just for the, like, the tracking of the doctor's feelings on guns. It's very much a thing in New Who, the whole, like, I never would or whatever. The doctor doesn't like guns. But, yeah, in Classic Who, I mean, and this is probably, like, the Sixth Doctor probably has used them more. Not just even used them more, but used them more, like, unthinkingly, right? Like, without internal debate about it. You know what I mean? Just use them. So it's...
Well, I'd say five, too, a little bit.
Five, but I think five always was kind of, like, didn't love it. Like,
he sure did shoot that one Cyberman in the chest 57 times.
Most of the times when Five has a gun, he will use it, but he will feel bad about it later.
True, but twice he did shoot something and go...
That's true. So actually having this line, like having a moment where this character goes, I think maybe I don't like guns. Okay, bye. He's like...
And he specifically says, I've given them up.
I've given them up.
I mean, it's a cigarette metaphor, but...
It is a joke, and it can't actually possibly be, like...
No, it's canon, baby.
A character arc. But it feels like it.
A little bit. I think he's always been sort of like, I'll use guns if I need to, but I'm not going to use them...
Unless I need to.
Yeah. So then Perry and Ravensworth decide to make some herbal remedies for these men without sleep. They want to get some valerian, and Luke is like, I know where to get some. We'll go into the forest.
Valerian root is rad, if anyone was wondering.
So wait, was the plan to use Luke to get him out into the forest? I don't understand. Because, I mean, Luke is under control of the Master.
I guess, but here's the, like, they don't...
I don't understand.
They don't know that? Like, they set up the mines before... The plan to go get the valerian root. I don't remember who says, but it's like, Luke, take Perry out and, like, keep her safe. So you're like, oh, fuck. And so he leads her to the mines, only that was after.
Also, he does not know about the mines. He definitely does not know about them. And I don't understand.
Can the Master's mind control be that far away?
Maybe?
I mean, like, Time Lords are telepathic, so maybe he's like, Luke, come to the forest.
There is a bit where the Doctor almost walks into the forest, and then he stops and goes, no, this doesn't feel right, and leaves. Because there's like this whole bit where, like, there's this nice shot where the focus changes from a spider web to him in the background. And he says,
come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly.
Yeah. And he's like, this feels like a trap. And then walks away. So he was headed in that direction.
But why?
He was going to go find the attacked Faraday, which I guess Luke did tell Stevenson. Maybe the Master is like told Luke to lead people to this place because he's going to plan on making a trap there. And what's her face was like, this is the trap I'm going to do. this is the trap we can do. He's like, I've got a location. We just need a trap.
You just need a trap. I've got a location. You've got landmines. Let's work together.
I guess. But there is a brief scene that's completely unimportant. The Ronnie and the Master are back on her TARDIS and she's watering her dino while the Master and her reminisce about the past, talk about her turning mice into monsters. And this is why she got kicked out of Gallifrey. She was doing some experiment, turned these mice into monsters that ate the president's cat.
I like the fact that the president of Gallifrey has a cat.
Well, he had a cat.
Oh, yeah.
This cereal is bad for both cats and dogs. In the forest, the Master and the Ronnie are waiting for whoever the fuck's going to walk through these landmines. And the Master almost shoots Luke with the TCE. I don't know why he would shoot Luke. Luke's on his sign. The doctor storms up and slaps the TCE out of his hand and goes, nope. And then he gets the TCE. He's like, ha.
I do love the way that that happens. Because it's like, that is exactly it. You saying no isn't you like abbreviating the scene. He literally goes, no.
He does. I chipped it. He says no as he slaps it out of his hands.
Like he's admonishing a child.
And then it happens. Luke steps on a landmine and explodes into a tree. He turns into a tree.
Why do the landmines work like this?
It's one of the Ronnie's experiments.
What? What is it for?
It changes the matter into vegetable matter or something. I don't know. But he turns into a tree.
I mean, granted, I guess if you have to sell the idea of landmines, of like, look, we're gonna kill people anyway. This way is at least, like, good for the environment?
It's a decent effect.
It's eco-friendly, but I don't understand why it was made.
I don't either.
What is the thought process behind we need landmines
that turn people into trees?
Why?
I don't know.
Also, the trees are still vaguely sentient.
Yes.
Sapient. I don't know. I always get it wrong and Vince always corrects me. It can move slightly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very unbelievable.
I'm going to pretend you did not say that and move on.
Do you like it though? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's good.
Anyway. As I was saying.
Well, are we branching out from this topic?
Luke turns into a tree.
And then Perry almost steps on a mine and is grabbed by Luke / the tree, which just means it's got like a branch that
bends around. Arm that grabs her.
So I guess he's out from under mind control now, I guess, because he's protecting her.
Trees can't be mind controlled.
Everybody, they don't have a mind.
Everybody knows that.
Where would they even keep a mind? In their trunk? So the doctor tells the Ronnie to lead Perry out. Because he's got the TCE and he's using it as a, you know.
He's got the weapon. Yeah.
I knew it looked phallic, but it looks really phallic.
The tree?
No. Well, yes. I meant the TCE.
Oh.
But yes. Because there is a bit where the tree lets go of Perry. And then it just like rises straight up in a very penis-y way.
You've got to add some things to your list.
I do. My article is out of date. But the doctor tells Ronnie to lead Perry out. And there's just this great big wide shot of all of them. The doctor and the master at the edge of the forest. Way off in the distance is Perry next to the tree. In between the two is the Ronnie just randomly hopscotching across this forest. Field.
She knows where the mines are.
Yeah. But it's clear that she's just like randomly walking. She leads Perry out, and then they're both sort of wobbling around. They jump over a very clearly easy to see landmine at one point too, which they could have just walked around, but they had to jump over it.
Jump over it.
While they're watching this, the doctor tells the master that he thinks if the master turned into a tree, he'd be this certain kind of tree. I don't remember what it was. And he's like, why? And he's like, poisonous pods. And the master's like, yeah.
Yeah. You nailed it. That's true. That is the type of tree I'd be.
We have some fun here.
Now I'll do you.
Pear tree. I don't know why.
Just to piss him off. The doctor hates pears.
He does. They just fucking leave the mines there, by the way.
For anyone to stumble on.
I mean, it becomes a plot point right now. But also, once this plot point is done, they also don't get rid of the mines. The mines are still there to this day.
Well, there's not any mines there. Now there's just a forest. A very sad, phallic, slightly moving forest.
So they're heading out and they hear the men, the like screaming angry men that have been marked. Running through the woods. They're like, oh no, they're going to run into those mines and turn into trees. What are you going to do, doctor? The doctor's like, I'm going to leave and stop them from turning into trees. Perry takes the TC and is like, you go do that. I've got these two. I'm not afraid to use this thing.
He says, I've got this. She does not got this.
The doctor's like, okay. And then he whispers something into her ear. And then he starts to head out and he bumps into the master and he like glares at him as he does so and then leaves. Both of those things are somewhat important. They might not seem it, but they are.
But they are.
The doctor runs and he sees them running up to the mines and he's like, stop, stop. And then they surround him and he's like,
I did not think this through. This
he is immediately caught and tied to a pole and they're carrying him through the woods as he's strapped to this pole. Two of the men step on mines and turn into trees and he's stuck between the two trees, like on a hammock, but like tied to a pole, basically. This is where they left him. They left Colin Baker there for like a half an hour.
Why were they so mean to him this whole serial? What did he do?
On the documentary, he was tied up on the thing and he was stuck between the two trees. And then like, they were having difficulties with the filming in general. And like, they needed to go do something else. He was like, oh, it's fine. Just leave me. But he was saying it like a joke. And they're like, oh, okay. And just left him. And he was like, no? And then he said while he was there, this couple came up that were walking their dog and just started having a conversation with him. Like, nice day. He's like, it is, yes. He didn't want to like bring it up.
That's so aggressively British. Oh my God.
And they're like, anyway, have a good day. And left.
He wasn't like, hey, help me untie me.
It's probably just some weird sex thing. I don't know. But yes, Colin Baker was left in the woods for at least half an hour tied to this tree.
Oh my God. I don't understand. So this is the same one where they left him with dog shit on his face.
Yeah.
What did he do? Who did he piss off?
The prop master, I guess. I don't know.
My God.
Meanwhile, they're going back to, I think, the Ronnie's TARDIS. And the master is like, this is all the Ronnie's fault. Like, she did all this, not me. I was just here. There's even a bit earlier when, like, Luke turned into a tree where the master was like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. That wasn't meant for him. So you can't hurt me. The doctor's like, you still fucking put them there.
Also, it was meant for me.
Yeah. You're not going to get off because, oh, the wrong person turned into a tree.
That's how landmines work.
But he's now again attempting to like shift the blame. This is all the Ronnie's fault. Also, look at this watch. He tries to mind control Perry. And she's like, no, fuck you. The doctor warned me that you would try to do this. That's what he whispered into my ear, is that you would try to mind control me. I'm not going to fall for this shit. I don't know, they're talking about something, and then Ronnie starts laughing. She's like, ha, 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 ha. And she starts
jumping. God, that frightened me.
Well, that's what happens in the episode. And they're like, what's wrong? And the master's like, she's having an asthma attack. I've seen it happen. And she needs these capsules. And like, she's like trying to get the capsule open and then she drops it. And then Perry goes to like get it. And then like, she flings this dust, sparkly dust, up into Perry's face and Perry passes out. It was a trick. And then the master and Ronnie
escape. She has asthma at all.
You know, this reminds me, there was a Captain America movie before the Captain America movie that we all know and love, in which there is a repeated trick of Steve Rogers claiming to be sick. He's like, I'm going to be sick, please pull over, like in a vehicle. And they do. He gets out to throw up. They go come over to check on him. And then he runs around and steals their car. It happens multiple times in the movie. It's like his go-to thing. This made me think of it. God, that movie's bad. Anyway, so the doctor in the tree starts to slide down, and he's right over a mine. She put those three very close together, and he's like trying not to hit it, and he gets loose, and he manages to stand without hitting a mine, and he takes the pole and sort of uses it as a minesweeper, and he's sweeping his way out
through
the... Are you just now realizing?
That's why it's called that.
Yes. People used to sweep for mines.
Great.
It's not just a game on your computer. The doctor finds Perry in the mines. I think the doctor's trying to lead them towards that. He's like, I heard there's a thing in here.
Wait, the mines?
Coal mines.
Coal mines.
Yeah.
Not the landmines.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Yes, the coal mines. They're in the... Well, they're not going to be in the landmines. It's just a lot of mines here. It's all mines. The bit where the doctor tripped over the thing, and it was like creaky, that's setting up something. That happens here. The master shoots at them, misses them. He's shooting at them with the TC, and he shrinks that support beam. Mm-hmm. For this thing, a cave-in starts to happen. So the Master and the Ronnie run into the TARDIS, the Ronnie's TARDIS, and the Doctor and Perry run out of the mines. The coal mines.
Got it. Thank you.
The Ronnie and the Master get in the TARDIS, and the Ronnie straight up kicks the Master in the dick.
Wait, what?
She kicks him right in the fucking dick. He, like, turns around and is holding his junk as he bends over in pain. Do you want me to show you the GIF?
Yeah, how did I not see this?
I remember turning to him, I was like, did she just hit him in the dick? And you're like, no, I don't think so. But he straight up kicks him in the dick.
And then show me the GIF. Yeah.
She knees him right in the crotch.
It sure does seem that way.
She knees him right in the dick.
Huh.
And then they TARDIS out, but the speed has increased because the doctor fucked with it. They get slammed up against the wall, and then everything gets very stretchy.
The video
gets, they're like, like, we gotta fix it. One of the glass jars tips over between the two of them, smashes on the ground, and there's T-Rex, baby T-Rex. But because they're like, they're going too fast, like time is like
accelerating.
And the baby T-Rex, it just gets bigger and bigger.
How come the baby, like the T-Rex gets older, but they don't?
Maybe they do. Timelines kind of age differently.
That's true.
It becomes like not a full-grown T-Rex, but we just see various stages of...
A teenage T-Rex.
They're very rubbery puppets. They're not like standing. They're not going rah. They're just like flop, 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 flop.
I don't hate them.
No, that's cool. I was very excited to see this dinosaur. I told you there was dinosaurs in this. You're like, there's dinosaurs in this? Right.
Well, because kind of like the dinosaur starts aging up and you think like, oh, it's going to like rampage or whatever.
But it doesn't.
No, I think they were kind of like, that's the best we got. Let's cut away.
Also, you don't want to see, you got to leave it ambiguous because you got to bring these characters back.
That's true.
They go back to town. Perry's like about to go work on the Valerian thing, but the doctor's like, you don't have to. Remember when I bumped into the master earlier? I pickpocketed those brain chemicals that he had. I don't know how the doctor knew he had them.
Also, I don't know how you put them back.
Right? Okay, so they give them to, like, Ravensworth. And I was like, give these to your men and they'll be fine. How? Drink them?
Inject them? How much? How much per a person?
Like, I'm pretty sure she was extracting it from their brains. I don't know if you can just chug a lug and be good.
I don't know.
It's not said. It's a very ambiguous.
Chug a lug.
Also, Stevenson had his men recover the TARDIS from the well, from the pit, from the big hole in the ground.
The whale.
Stevenson's also like, hey, doctor, this part, I think, is the problem with this engine. What do you think? And the doctor's like, I think your engine will take off like a rocket, Stevenson. Which I didn't get, but apparently George Stevenson made a train called the Rocket that was very, very fast. It eventually killed somebody. But not right away. But it was a very famous train.
Not right away. It was too fast.
And then Ravensworth is like, doctor, will you answer me one question? And points to the TARDIS and he's like, what precisely do you do in there? And the doctor says, argue mainly. And then they get in and leave. I thought it was interesting that they called out the fact that they argue all the damn time.
That was a great line. That's a great last line. On account of how true it is.
And that's pretty much it. That's the end of the serial. That is the end of The Mark of the Ronnie. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Are you tired of podcasts only covering good movies or bad movies? Where could you possibly turn to find both in one convenient place?
There has got to be a better way.
Well, now there is. Try the podcast Double Edge Double Bill, where Adam and Thomas dive into both a good and a bad film in every episode. Sound too good to be true? Well, listen to this testimonial.
Double Edge Double Bill got me to watch Total Recall and Junior in one night. I was both entertained and scarred permanently. Thanks, Double Edge Double Bill.
Available now on the ESO Network and wherever podcasts are streamed.
back. Hey, Dinosaur's Tale.
I love that movie.
It's very apropos.
Yeah. Those crows always mess me up, though. And then it's just the screw drops, and you're like, what? That's messed up. Hey.
Yeah.
You know what time it is?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
It is 10:54 p.m. Jesus Christ, we need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Also, it's time for final thoughts.
Yeah. I know.
Final thoughts.
I don't have like a whole heck of a lot to say just because this one was pretty solid. Not amazing and not terrible. I feel like I have a lot more to say when it's like awful because I'm like, it was terrible in these specific ways and this is how I would fix it. I enjoy the Rani. Do you know? Did we get more of her? I assume yes. So. She's a much bigger, it seems like she's a much bigger character than.
Yeah, she comes back.
Just this serial. She didn't get to do a whole heck of a lot. But what little she does do is fun. I do think it's really nice to have this, like, three people dynamic of, like, rogue Time Lords. Where you have, basically, you have the Doctor who's pretty much good. You have the Master who's just bonkers evil. And then you have the Rani who's like, please leave me alone. I want to do pretty much unethical science. Having those, like, different motivations and having these characters who all have, like, a background with each other is really fun. Because that's not something that we've gotten in a while, right? Like, there aren't characters who, like, have known each other for a long time. Because that's generally not how Doctor Who works. It's fun to be able to, like, see those dynamics kind of at play. Of like, oh, I've always fucking hated her. kind of thing. This serial's lucky that it's fun. I think that's what I'll say about it. Because if you spend, like, any amount of time thinking about it, I feel like you're kind of like, why did anything happen? why did we do any of this? But it's fun to watch. Like, I don't remember any of the side characters. I don't know the like history guy in it. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna meet this guy. I don't know him and I don't care about him. And so like I don't have like that kind of enthusiasm for it. And so it helps that you're just seeing these like basically these three very big characters, these big Time Lord weirdos being Time Lord weirdos. That's its saving grace. That takes it from being like an okay messy episode or a messy serial of Doctor Who to being like, oh yeah, I remember that one being pretty good. And those are my final thoughts.
You're saying like the side characters. Yeah, like they're very forgettable. But the core group and like the Rani are all very fun to watch. Yeah, I don't care about any of the side characters at all.
That makes it difficult.
It's kind of sloppy, this serial, but it's sloppy in a fun way.
Yeah.
It doesn't all hold together. And another thing I was thinking about, the last time we saw the Master, he burned alive, presumably to death, while almost telling the Doctor some big secret, which is probably that he was his brother or some shit.
Oh, yeah. You think he'd bring that up? Like, remember that thing?
But they don't even go, how did you survive? There's no explanation given.
I mean, the Master, I think the Rani does bring it up.
He says, you know I'm basically indestructible. That's all he says. He doesn't explain it.
I mean, What do you want?
Apparently there was an explanation and it got cut out by Eric Sayward.
What was the explanation?
I don't know.
Oh.
I couldn't find it. I was madly Googling. If you know, I think there's like some like bullshitty explanation about the energy in the, you know, he was in that like flame in Planet of Fire and that was somehow tied in. There's a train horn blowing. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's fun. So you don't give a shit. So
the Master comes back. That's just what he does.
Yeah, who knows how. But there's a lot of that kind of logic of you're just like, why the landmines? Why the trees? Why did they put them there? How did they know that people were going to walk through there? That's very oddly specific. There's just a lot of like, I don't know, it's fun. Why did the fucking Doctor pull a fishing line and cause a volcanic eruption?
Why does the Rani have dinosaurs?
Why does the Rani have dinosaurs? None of it makes any sense, but it's fun.
I don't know.
But it's fun. Oh, shit. Another inside joke.
I will have to post that. I'll, you know what I'll do?
Yeah.
I'll tweet it. Yeah, it is a reference to, it's a show that I used to work on. Well, I didn't work on the show, but like I...
You got it ready for air.
Yeah, the syndicator would send it to us and I frequently had to like fix it. And the show is called Dog Tales. And there's this episode that's entirely about a wedding between two dogs. And I cut it out because it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I'll post it to my Twitter, FWDPWR, if you want to see it. And I'll pin it. That's what I'll do.
But yes, there is the line. I don't know. But it's fun.
The person is saying, dogs getting married? I don't know. But it's fun.
And that's this and cereal.
And it's stuck in my head.
This cereal is dogs getting married. But yeah, that's it. Is there anything we need to plug before we go?
You can see season one of The Unseen World at watchheartlandtv.com. We are in the middle of getting a new streaming service. So the way we host our video on demand is changing. It's actually getting like a heck of a lot better. There is like a landing page just for The Unseen World. You can go straight to it. It's got both seasons up now. What exists of season two because COVID happened. But both full seasons are up. It's called It's Real Good TV.
That's itsrealgoodtv.com.
Itsrealgoodtv.com. Just, you know, search for it. Go on the web. You can also rate each episode that you watch. So if you do watch The Unseen World on itsrealgoodtv.com, I would appreciate it if you 5 stars.
Or 10 stars.
I think it only goes up to 5.
If it goes up to 5, give it 10 stars.
We get all the analytics from that. And so they see how many people have seen it, what they rate it, how, I think, I probably not how long they watch. I don't know. I haven't seen the analytics side. But the more people who go and watch and engage with that content, they can look and they can see. Because generally, in syndication and stuff, I don't really know. I don't get, like, Nielsen ratings. So these analytics is kind of what the company will use to know how much people are watching and enjoying Unseen World. So check that out. Tell your friends to check it out. Make your friends tell their friends. That would be awesome and help me out a lot. Season 2 has some good stuff in it. Oh my gosh, it has some good stuff in it. The episode on Passaquan's amazing. The episode on Land of Oz, it's the last one that we finished, turned out very sweet. There's a proposal in it, which is nice. And then Frozen Dead Guy Days, which is probably like my favorite. Like, I am proud of that edit. So yeah, check it out, please. itsrealgoodtv.com.
Yeah, if it's not up yet, it should be soon. Like, they've been announcing it.
Well, the website's going to be up. The thing that's not up yet is that, like, it's going to be available as an app. So you'll be able to get it on your Roku. You'll be able to get it on your phone, whether you have Apple or an Android. Now, that's all still in the testing phase. But, like, it'll be literally available anywhere. So I think if you just keep looking, it'll be there eventually. And that's all I really have to plug for now. Although I will say, I have new stuff in the works.
Are you ready to talk about that?
I'm not. I don't want to talk about it yet. It's not in a place where it's a thing yet. But I have started working on a new project, and I'm excited about it. And hopefully I will get to elaborate on that soon.
Nice. I'm going to plug two things. Check out thedip.com, D-I-P-P. Thedip.com, I've been writing articles. You can go to thedip.com/author/Joe if you want to see all the articles that I've written.
They're all bonkers.
I've written 2 about Doctor Who. One is about, as seen in this episode, dick props and the unexpected fallacy of Doctor Who. I've written one about how Doctor Who needs to rip off Farscape. I've written a article about how The Mandalorian is setting up a Muppet Baby style Star Wars Baby spinoff. My most recent one is that I wrote an article saying that the only logical successor to WandaVision is Howard the Duck. And I pitch an entire season of a Howard the Duck show. And I think it's pretty great. And it's Marvel, get at me. Also, I might be doing another crazy project on The Dip. It's in the works. We'll see. It's the most bonkers idea I have, and it's gonna take a lot of effort and work, and I'm probably crazy. But another thing I want to plug is Shiprocked, Life on the Waves with Radio Caroline by Steve Conway. I read it, and it's good, and you should read it too.
I'm reading it, but what I've read is good.
It's got boats. Well, it's got a boat. Well, it's got multiple boats, but one primary boat. Is it bad to call it a boat? I don't know. Ship. A ship. Like, is it offensive to call it a boat? Like, it's not a boat, it's a ship, you fool. You know?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We have previously thoroughly established our nautical ignorance.
Yeah, like, we did the Enlightenment, and we were asking Steve Conway, like, in the episode, like, how are we doing on these boat terms? Because you're on a boat or a ship. And on Twitter, he was like,
I liked other things about that episode.
Other stuff was good. You were terrible at the nautical terms. I'm surprised I just said nautical. I just remembered I want to plug another thing. I'm going to be doing another podcast. It's called Legendary Forces. Me and Nathan Laws, who's been on this podcast before. Nathan Laws is the guy, main guy doing it. And I'm just a co-host, not the main host. In fact, there'll be episodes I'm not on. Me and Nathan Laws and a couple other people. And we are going through all of the Star Wars media from the beginning to the end of time. So it's basically kind of like this, but for Star Wars. So if you like me, if you like Star Wars, if you like Nathan Laws, if you like the other people, check it out. Legendary Forces. It's on Facebook, Twitter, etc. Go check it out. Legendary Forces. My dad made the logo. It looks really cool. But that's it for this episode. If you liked this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssLine.com. And if you'd like to help us out, leave a review on iTunes. Do that.
Please do that.
You can also become a Patreon.
I need the validation.
You can also become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/watchathon, or you can sponsor an episode by purchasing a DVD or Blu-ray from our Amazon wish list at watchyourassline.com/support. Somebody did that for my birthday, or also our anniversary of the podcast.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Bisexual Brigadier. But if you do that, we'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
Check him out at MatthewGolden.net. I also want to say thank you to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
Check out more of their music at SoundCloud.com/VincentEL or VincentEL.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we go back a bit. We're going to talk about The Faceless Ones and Fury from the Deep, the second Doctor serials that have been recently-ish animated. Because we're going to do that before diving into the two Doctors. It seems like a good time to do that. Get a little recap on Mr. Troughton before seeing his final appearance in classic Doctor Who. Not that he's in New Who, but until next time, keep calm and razzle.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Tree dick!
No!
I am about to follow what you would term as a hunch.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.